Let me ask you, are you hearing me well in the balcony? Can you hear me well? All right, everywhere around the building, you hearing me well? Good. 1 John chapter 1. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. That's what we've been saying. Come on, say that with me. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. And let's finish the verse. And with His Son, Jesus Christ. Come on, say it again. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you the verse that we're going to deal with today. One verse. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Let the church say amen. Father, we pray that you will take now the word of God, serve it on the table of the hearts of all thy people, that every one of us may eat, be filled, and strengthened unto every work that pertains to life and godliness. Take me as your vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing to these thy people. And oh, as the psalmist said, help me to bless you, Lord. And everything that is in me, bless your holy name. Keep the devil from interfering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Joint participation in something that both parties have in common. Joint participation in something that both parties have in common. That is our definition of fellowship. And can you imagine that definition applying to us and God? That God and I can have joint participation in something that we both have in common. We've said the last several weeks that what gives our fellowship life is the existence of our relationship. And you can't have good fellowship if you don't first have a good relationship. You cannot have a relationship with God just because you're born in a Christian home. You cannot have a good relationship with God just because you go to a good church. You cannot have a good relationship with God just because you carry a Bible. You cannot have a good relationship with God just because you join a church, or just because you've been baptized, or just because you say good words, or just because you lift your hand and shout. There are a lot of good things that you can do, but those good things by themselves will not secure you a relationship with God. How do we have a relationship with God? I'm talking about a relationship of sonship, a relationship as His children, a relationship as family. Well, this same writer told us in his gospel in chapter 1 that Jesus came unto His own, but His own received Him not. Some rejected Him, but aren't you glad that not all rejected Him? Some received Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the word is translated authority, to become the sons of God, or to be called the sons of God, and even to them that believe on His name. Later, same John in this epistle says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of... I wish somebody somewhere would behold. You know what that word means? To take notice, to stop and pause and look at. I know there's a lot of news. I know there's a lot of bad stuff going on. I know there's a lot that we ought to take serious. I know there are a lot of cautions and admonitions that we ought to adhere to. But somewhere in the midst of all that mess, somebody stop and just take notice for a while that the love of God is so intimate, so powerful, so blessing, so much of a blessing, so much of a privilege, that He has chosen not just to call us servants, not just to call us His creation, not just to call us human beings, but He has chosen by His love and through the agent of the Holy Ghost and the finished work of the Son of God to call us His sons. My, my. What a God. And so our fellowship is with the Father through the Son. Let me move. If I use up all my energy, I won't even get to my next point. So He started off with some real conclusions. Some things He knew about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had displayed absolute eternality. He came to earth, but He didn't just start when He got to earth. He always has been. and that John and the others were actual eyewitnesses. We laid eyes on him. John laid eyes on him even more than some of the other disciples did. John was there on the Mount of Transfiguration where the glory of God shone down upon Jesus, and the process of metamorphosis where this glow on the outside resonated because of something on the inside, and it was radiating from the inside out. And John said, we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, I ain't telling you what I heard. I ain't telling you what somebody told me. I ain't telling you what I read in some publication. I laid eyes on him. I heard him. I handled him. I touched him. I know that he's real. Now, you and I have never seen him personally, but I won't tell you I've seen him. And I tell you, the sight of Christ through faith is even more powerful than the sight of Christ through sight. And so his reasonable compulsion, because he knew he was real, was to deliver some facts and to desire a function that we could fellowship with each other and to discover the fullness that our joy would be full. I know what you're thinking. I know how to have a good week this week. Give me some money in my bank. Let them approve a new stimulus package. Let me feel good. Let them promote me even though I ain't going into the office, and I'll have a good week. I'll tell you something. You need more than a good week. You need a joyous week. And you ain't gonna get that from no stimulus. You ain't gonna get that from no doctor. You ain't gonna get that from no news report. You ain't gonna get that from no Congress decision. I tell you, have a joyous week. Start from Sunday to the next Sunday, giving up every day and fellowshipping with God. And not only will you have a joyous week, you'll have a week full of full joy. And so the relayed communication, verse 5. This sends the message last week. God is light. Would you say that with me? God is light. Come on, one more time. Why you want me to keep saying that, Pastor? So hopefully you hear it. You come to church one time a week now and you hear me talk. But you need to get something in your head so that on Tuesday night at 8:37 p.m., you can speak and hear yourself talk. We need to talk to ourselves sometime. Amen. I think sometimes we speak about darkness so much we forget about the light. We don't need any more news commentators. We got enough of those. And bless God, if they're going to report the news, thank God for it. But listen to me. John said, I got some news to report too. Come on now. Hey, listen, you may not work on CBS or NBC or CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, but I'm telling you something. You are an eyewitness and you need to report live from the scene. Amen. Put your mask on if you have to, but let somebody know that loud and proud that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. All right. Now let me get to the next one. Verse number 7. Here's what I'm going to talk about today. Y'all like my cup? My brother-in-law gave this to me. Isn't that nice of him? God is light. Stars show light. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Don't you think because of coronavirus I won't throw you up out of here. You understand me? Your wife and kids can stay, but I don't throw you up out. God is light. And there is no darkness at all. I want to talk about righteous communion. We're going to handle these verses a little bit out of order because of the way that they fit thematically. So we're going to take verse number 7, and then we'll jump back to 6, 8, and 10, and then we'll finish with verse 9. Not all today, I can assure you that. But verse number 7, I got about 10 minutes left in me. If we walk in the light. I will break this verse down. I want to start off with the word if. When I talk about righteous communion, what is righteous communion? If you're taking notes today, write down, it involves a consecrated walk. A consecrated walk. Notice the word if. John is going to make a conditional point in verse number 7. If, in other words, there's a certain way that we walk that constitutes fellowship. And just because you're walking doesn't mean you have fellowship if you ain't walking the right way. If the promises of God are yea and amen. Anybody believe that? All the promises of God are yea and amen. In other words, that means they are credible. But let me add something to it, because if we're not careful, we'll go running away with the credibility of God's promises while ignoring the conditionality of God's promises. There are some things God has promised you that nothing you do can ever change. I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You couldn't sin too many times and lose your salvation. And with our sinful selves, you ought to say amen now. But there are some promises of God that are stated on condition. In other words, God said, I'll do what I do if you do what you're supposed to. If consecrated walk involves a conditional point, a consecrated walk involves a chosen progress. A chosen progress. If we what? Walk. Come on now. Walk. Who decides whether you walk? I mean, in a few moments, the service is going to be over. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk out. Nobody's got a remote control to make me walk. My wife can say, come on now, but she can't make me walk. Hey, let me tell you something. Nobody can make you walk with God. Kids, we can make you come to church, but we can't make you walk with God. Come on now. I can preach the Bible at you, but I can't make you walk with God. You can come to the best church in all the world, and I think this is a pretty good one. Not because I'm the pastor. I thought it was a good one before I pastored. That's why I'm still here. But just because I go to Crossroads Baptist Church doesn't mean I walk with Jesus. Come on now, you're going to walk in the light because you choose to. A consecrated walk involves a conditional point. It involves a chosen progress, but it involves a copied pattern. Watch this now. A copied pattern. If we walk where? Somebody talk to me. In the light. Next phrase, as he is in the light. I'll tell you what's wrong with Christians. They're too busy keeping up with the celebrities and keeping up with the politicians and keeping up with the preachers and keeping up with the famous folk and keeping up with the fads and the trends. Let me tell you something. When you decide every single day what kind of progress you're going to make, you find out where God is and you get where God is. Hey, nobody wants to be called a copycat because that means you don't have an identity. But I'm telling you, it isn't bad to be called a copycat of Almighty God, because the truth of the matter is we're supposed to lose our identity when we get saved. Our lives, Colossians, are hid in Jesus Christ. And here's what he's saying. Get up every day and make a choice to consecration. Copy Jesus Christ in consecration. Enjoy the conditions of consecration. Your walk must be a consecrated walk, but nobody will make you do it. The consecrated walk leads us to a collective wonder. We have fellowship one with another. The theologians are divided on this. Some think that fellowship one with another refers to God and us. I tend to believe it refers to us and us. John had no problem calling God's name when he was referring to him in passages of Scripture. We have fellowship with God. He talked about that. But the context, I believe, in verse number 7 is we have fellowship one with another. You say, well, what if I disagree and what if I think it's God? No big deal, because our fellowship with each other is contingent on our fellowship with God. And it is because we walk with God that we can walk with each other. Somebody help me preach. Listen, we enjoy each other because we enjoy his company now. And when we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. That's what we enjoy about being Christians. Come on now. There's nothing better than to know that we can hang out in the light. Come on now. We can hang out in the light. Do you read your Bible? Somewhere in it tells you that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You say, well, I guess we all dark. But let me tell you something. When God came to live inside of you, he turned the light on. Come on now. And the light came to live inside of you. And he puts in you a desire to walk where he walks and to do what he does. Let me tell you something. Dress as Jesus would have you dress. Think as Jesus would have you think. Do what God would have you do. I know that times are tough, but if we walk in the light, that, my friend, is a consecrated walk that gives to us a collective wonder. You and I can hang out in the most beautiful company of all if we'll just choose to make our habitual domain in the light. What a wonder. The consecrated walk. The collective wonder. And here I'm closing. The cleansing work.
the cleansing word. I'm all right. I assure you. I'm just catching a breath. God is giving me a foretaste of what it's going to be like to be an old man. They always tell me, you're going to be just like your granddad. I didn't think it was going to be this soon. Oh, buddy, I'm going to be. I look young. My wife said, you look real young. Praise the Lord. This verse is going to end good. I'm going to send you home clicking your heels. And the blood of Jesus. Whew. I'd like to run down the aisle right now and high five somebody. Come on, let's just do it virtually. Come on, let's just pretend like we do it. Come on. Somebody give me a fist bump right now. Fist bump for the blood of Jesus. I said fist pump for the blood of Jesus. Come on now. Everybody been marching about everything else. Somebody march for the blood of Jesus. Everybody been shouting about everything else. Somebody shout for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody been clapping about everything else. Somebody clap for the blood of Jesus. So somebody, everybody been rejoicing about everything else. So somebody rejoice for the blood of Jesus. Yeah. I feel a preaching storm coming on. I want you to know when there's a consecrated walk, there's a collective wonder. I'm going to give you everything I got on the last 3 minutes or so. There is a cleansing work. Now, I said there's a cleansing work. First of all, the need for a cleansing work is because of displayed problems. What do you mean, Pastor? When you walk in the light, light begins to expose us. That's why they say when you have a powder room in your house, put dim lighting in the bathroom, in the powder room, so when people look in the mirror, they don't notice all their blemishes. That's what the decorators tell you. That's what they told my wife. That's what she told me. But listen to me. The Christian life's not a powder room. It's not a practice field. The Christian life is a war zone. Come on. Do you want your blemishes to stay? You want to do something about it? I'm saying walk in the light and you have displayed problems. I'm saying walk in the light. You have a divine provision. Notice the writing of the scripture. This one verse, but we can have a time in it today. The Bible says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. Aren't you glad that God has made a provision to cover those blemishes? Come on now. Aren't you glad that God is better than vitamin E? Aren't you glad that God is better than oil of Olay? Aren't you glad that God is better than cocoa butter? Aren't you glad that God is better than Moroccan oil? Come on now. I'm telling you, aren't you glad that God is better than makeup or concealer or lotion? Aren't you glad that God would take the ash away and it won't come back? Come on now. Aren't you glad that his blood, when the light starts to show our blemishes, the blood of Jesus, it is a divine provision, yes, that helps us with the displayed problems. But then, my friend, as we close, it gives us a definite purging. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from, talk to me, all sin. Say it with me now, all sin. One more time. All sin. I got some right up here right now. And it says hand sanitizer, 63% alcohol. And then on the hand sanitizer, it often writes 99% that it will clean up all of those germs. And then you turn on the news and you Google it and you read reviews and say, well, it depends on what brand you get. And then somebody says sanitizers don't even work. Then somebody says you need old-fashioned hand washing and you need to do it several times, at least 20 seconds. I don't know what works, but it sure helps me feel better when I put it on. But I'm trying to tell you, no matter how much hand sanitizer we have, no matter how much washing we do with soap, no matter how much cleaner that we put on ourselves, we're still going to get dirty because we're living in a dirty world. But I'm glad that God made a provision to cleanse me from sin, and it isn't through sanitizer, and it isn't through Zest soap, and it isn't through Ivory or Dove, and it isn't through my own will or my own plan. I'm glad that God has a way whereby mankind can be cleansed from his sins. And that division is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For as much as you know, ye would not redeem with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Aren't you glad that his blood still works? Aren't you glad that his blood is still powerful? That rich, red, crimson, pure, purifying blood blood of Jesus Christ is enough to cleanse us from all sin. You'll never have to worry about staying clean when you walk in the light. You get outside of that light, you'll have dirt in places you didn't even know exist. But when the light comes on, all of a sudden, that's the problem why people don't want to come to church. Because when you turn the light on, the roaches start to scatter. They don't want to come to church because they know there's light up in here. And when they get up in here, their sin gets exposed. Well, I'm telling you, I come because I want my stuff exposed. So when it gets exposed, God begins, oh, I'm slowing down, I'm slowing down, I'm slowing down. I'm just trying to tell you, his blood cleanseth us from all sin. May God help us to walk in the light. Where you been walking lately? I'm about to walk up out of here. But does that mean I have to leave the light? Do I? Just because we ain't been in church mean you have to hang in darkness? Somebody called me and said, Pastor, I just we ain't been in church. And I just feel like I'm just messing up. What church going to do? You probably messing up when we had church. I'm feeling a little bit like myself. Yeah. I've learned just to give it all I got, and then I crash later, but I got to give it what I got. Church is great. I think some churches are oh, I'm getting in trouble. I have lived my whole life in trouble. You think I'm going to stop now? I like almost died. You think God kept me here for nothing? He kept me here so I can get in some more trouble. I think some churches are rushing to get back full-fledged because they think Christians can't be Christians unless we're meeting together. Hey, we're glad we're here. We're going to do it safe. It may be a while before we get back to full flesh. But if you think we got to get in here and do like we used to do to walk in the light, you were never walking in the light in the first place. And just because you come up in here three times a week don't mean you're in the light. It just means you want to present that you're in the light. But God knows. Because walking in the light ain't about hanging out with us. It's about hanging out with him and hanging out with us as we hang out with him. That's all, folks. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Come on, let's walk with God. Let's walk with God. Is it hot in here? Y'all not hot? I'm hot. But I ain't going to hell. So it ain't that hot. Come on now. Let's get on fire for God. You say, what happened if I get on fire? Somebody peek out the door and watch you burn. Walk in the light and let God use you. Let's bow our heads. How many say, Pastor? I'm saved, I know it. If you know it, would you raise your hand all over the building? I'm saved, I know it. Bless you. Put your hand in. How many say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I need to do more hanging out in the light. Yeah, I know. It's going to show me, but I need to see me if I'm ever going to get me right. Come on now, put your hand up all over the building. I need to walk in the light more. Yeah. My hand's up too. Here today, is anybody in the building say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Over the building, would you raise your hand? Anybody? May God help us. Have an invitation in your seat, would you? And have one at home. And rest assured, you don't have to wait till we meet together again to get in the light. Father, help us. Use your word. We pray in Jesus' name.